I do know that Paul himself didn't preach the gospel there and had not met these. In fact, as we read this, you see in verse 4 of Colossians 1, it says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." So this is something that he and Timothy had heard of. And especially if you look over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says that. Here he is in prison, and yet having received word of their faith, he says, I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. That's just 10 miles south. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So you can see here that he's speaking to some that he'd never met. And yet, how attached he is to them. It's like me, if I get a letter from somewhere where someone may have heard the message of the gospel that I preach and they write, I've never met them. I've got some people that I have contact with and have had contact with for years that I've never met, but they continue to write. There's some that support this congregation that I've never met. I've never, as far as I know, laid physical eyes on, but they heard of the work, they heard of the message, they heard of the gospel, and they write, they contribute, they delight. In this day and age, it's very easy because the messages are going on the internet, bulletins go out around the world just with a click of the mouse. So, but here was the same situation with Paul, some that he never had met and yet was tender toward them. Solomon recognizes that it wasn't for anything in him, but he was of that line, and through him would come the Christ. So turn not away the face of thine anointed. He was thinking of himself as the anointed one there, but ultimately he was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Solomon, just like David, being a type of the Lord Jesus in his intercession to God the Father. That's what we see here in this particular psalm, in these 10 verses. Our Lord, when he was on this earth working out this salvation, sought the Father's blessing, not on some physical temple. In fact, we're seeing that in our study now going through Luke, when everybody was enthralled about the physical temple. The Lord said, there's coming a day when one stone will not remain upon another. This whole thing is going to be destroyed. And woe be to any of us that continue to look for some fulfillment in some physical temple, yet future. As soon as you hear preachers going that way, just plug your ears. Maybe you'll get their attention. Plug your ears. But I will tell you, Christ's second coming is going to be without any signs. Christ himself said that. No man knows the hour. There's not a sign that is going to be given to tell us, oh, today Christ is coming. But there's still men out there that are building up followers that love to build on people's curiosities and get people following after them, predicting dates. In our lifetime, I can remember a man that had a lot of following because he had a radio program, but he wrote an entire book on 1994. Remember that? 1994, Harold Camping. And he had it down. He had analyzed, and you listened to him. The numbers he was putting out, it kind of made sense, and it kind of had you wonder. Had everybody? It was like when the clocks turned 2000. Everybody's thinking, is the whole world going to come apart? 1994. What was that? 20 years ago. You do the math. Here we are. Now, for that reason, many mock. They say, "Well, see, where's the promise of his coming?" That's what Peter talked about. But that's just because men set date. God never set a date. And I shock someone. I tell them this whole world could keep going for another million years. You say, well, what's going to be the time when Christ comes? It's going to be when that last sheep for whom he's paid the debt is brought in.